Kevin Dyson, Tennessee Titan. Charger when they were in San Diego. Panther as well. Played in a lot of people don't know this about Dice. Two Super Bowls on his resume. One with the Titans, one with the Panthers. One night we were doing a post-game show and something came up about the Super Bowl. And Dice goes, well, now which one are you talking about? And it wasn't like he was – it was like, no, seriously, I was in two. Just which one are you asking me about? Here's another great Kevin Dyson story. And he just said this. This is Kevin right here. Like, you would never know this until it was just relevant. And he just said it. So – Blaine and Kevin and I do, courtesy of our friends at Lee Company, we do the pregame and the postgame show here on The Zone. It's the most fun thing. We love it. It's so much fun hanging out with these two guys. For me, it's the coolest thing that I've ever gotten to do in my whole radio thing. It's literally that I talk football with Kevin Dyson and Blaine Bishop twice a week during football season. It's like a dream come true. So sometimes Blaine will just say something that you never knew about Blaine, and sometimes Kevin will say something you never knew about Kevin. So one night we were talking about linemen, and Blaine was like, this guy's got great feet. You could probably take him out on the basketball court. This guy, he'd probably play point guard at, you know, 6'5 and 315. He's athletic like you, Dice. Dice, I bet you were a great basketball player. And just offhanded, Dice said, well, I played for Rick Majerus for a year at Utah. So that's Kevin Dyson's life right there. It was the miracle, man. And just for a year he played – he played college basketball with Rick Majerus. That's a lengthy introduction, but welcome in, Kevin Dyson.
Well, you know, what's funny about that, Mick, is through that whole recruiting process, basketball was my sport. And so anybody that was recruiting football, the first thing I asked was, can I play basketball too? And, of course, they're trying to get you to go to their school, and everybody tells you, oh, yeah, you can do both. But when you get there, when you're 6'1", 6'2", 165 pounds, and I'm generous, I'm really 153 pounds, and you need to lift weights and do everything in the off season to get caught up. Yeah, that quickly changed to, I don't know. You need to do the weight room to get ready. And yeah. So me and a couple other guys, man, we went ahead and Majerus, I can remember Coach Daniels called me in my dorm room. He said, man, I hope you remember me. I was recruiting for basketball. You want to come out and practice with us and whatnot? I said, all right. So I went out. I didn't even tell my football coach, man. I didn't even tell McBride or Graves, nothing. I just, me and Jimmy Pryor, man, we just went ahead and went out to basketball until spring football.
I can't even imagine. One, now I don't want to age you guys, but I had to Google who Rick Majerus was during the commercial.
Oh, wow, here you go.
Fuck, what in the world?
Now I know, and I've been properly educated by the internet, so I'm fully prepared for this conversation. But I can't imagine, like, Kevin, Mickey is describing you with the greatest of compliments when he tells me we're going to have you on the show. And this is the first time that you and I are getting to hang out, so I'm fired up to have you on, because obviously I know your career and how much of the history of what your teams were is tied up with the Tennessee Titans and how this whole thing got started early on. But also, you seem to be an incredibly understated person, which I can't possibly imagine. Because if I'd done all the things that you do, that you have done over the course of your life, I wouldn't shut the hell up. Like, I would continue to talk about it and tell everybody how great I am. And plus, you have a better nickname than any of us. You're Dr. Smooth. Are you kidding me with that?
Blaine uncorked that at the beginning of this season. That's new. Yeah. We're just hoping that it catches on, because I smell endorsements everywhere with Dr. Smooth.
I just want to know how much percentage you and Blaine are taking from me if I get something.
Right now, we're not getting much of a percentage of anything, but I feel the big takeoff coming. You and I did the post-game show Sunday night, and, Dice, it was just such a satisfying win to see them go to Baltimore twice in a year and beat them both times. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where it's like, have you even caught your breath yet? Especially the way it ended with Derrick Henry, and Buck pointed this out to me on Monday. He ran in the shape of an L. He literally left an L on Baltimore. What a way to see that thing end.
L, handing them out.
What a way to see it end. And Derrick Henry just continues, Dice, to be who we think he is.
You know, compared – the only other game this year, I know they've won several – that I can compare to is the Buffalo game, coming off of the COVID thing, the delay, the playing on a Tuesday night, and just the way they dominated that game. I think in comparison, these two wins can be statement wins going into the rest of the season, hopefully into the playoffs. I think you're going to look back and say those two games are pretty much what you would hope their identity would be: solid defense don't get me wrong, they still gave up 60% third down conversions. He still gave up some plays. But when they needed to, when it counted, they got the stops they needed. In particular, the one right before regulation to hold them to a field goal. So, you know, so for the Titans, you know, you're hoping that you can build off this. All the stack chips against them, the movements, over a dozen moves in the past 3-4 weeks. I don't know how many moves there are at to this point. They just keep making moves. They did it again yesterday, I think, right?
Yeah.
So they just keep making moves. All these things going against them, and they're still relevant with the biggest game to this point is this Sunday with the Colts. And again, it's almost identical to the scenario we had before a couple weeks ago when they played the Colts. But this right here is crucial. Pretty much the winner of this is going to win the division.
Yeah, absolutely.
Without question. I Kevin Dyson with us here on the Blaine and Mickey Show, 104.5 The Zone. See, Kevin, we were just talking about this before we went to commercial break. I'm not optimistic about their chances up at Indianapolis. Like, I think that it's going to be strength on strength for the Titans offense and this Colts defense. Obviously, the Colts, one of the most efficient defenses in the sport, and the Titans, despite how much shakier they've looked on that side of the ball, they're still third in the league behind Kansas City and Green Bay in offensive DVOA. And it's largely because they're playing defenses that have been really, really strong between the Colts and the Bears and Baltimore, as banged up as they are. For me, as I look at this, I'm thinking that the only way that they can legitimately pull this off against Phillip Rivers, who understands exactly what they're trying to do defensively, is if they finally open up the offense a little more the way that we saw them start off the year with large chunk plays in the play action passing game. This defense is too disciplined from what I've seen of them on film to allow for things like a Ryan Tannehill scamper for 20 yards off a play action fake to happen. I don't think that's where they're going to get their chunk plays. Tell me why I'm being too negative and why I should give the Titans a better chance in this thing. Cause I'm not crazy about it right now.
For why you should give them a chance, for lack of technical reason, is because whenever the Titans seem to have the chip stacked against them, they seem to perform well for whatever reason. When it's all even and you think it's a even money, they go out there and lay a fat egg. And that's what happened last time they played the Colts. Every time. But as soon as you think, oh, they don't have a chance, and you know what, to win this game, that's when they come out and for whatever reason, they seem to perform well. But to your point, but I think, you know, they're going to have to make plays vertically. You can't miss out on opportunities like A.J. Brown dropping a dime and things like that. They're going to have to make some plays. What I like what they did last week in comparison to weeks previous is on first down, they were inconsistent. What I mean by that is they weren't just doing the same thing over and over again. They kept the Baltimore Ravens off balance. It would play action pass here. It would drop back pass there. It was a run left and run right. So they didn't just give the ball to 22 on first down and now just play with the last two downs to see what we can do. And I think they're going to have to keep that mix. Now, I don't know if the Titans, knowing they had to play this team twice in 3 weeks, and begin, as Blaine will tell you, you don't do that. You try to coach the win, especially in the divisional game. But I'm not sure if Vrabel and them had that same kind of mindset. Were they holding something in their hat, knowing they're about to play this team again, hoping that they can probably get that win, just playing it to the cuff, vanilla if you want to, and knowing we got to play them again and have Baltimore sandwich in between those, another key AFC opponent. And so we'll see what they do Sunday. I think it's no holds barred. I think, as we mentioned, you know, the winner of this game pretty much wins the division. I don't think Jacksonville's relevant anymore, obviously, and Houston seems to be playing better, but I still think it's between the Colts and the Titans at this point, and they have to go steal this win. But optimism aside, man, this is a tough one. I was way more optimistic the first time than this time, for sure.
Me too. I picked them to win, and I never make game picks. Mickey knows how much I hate that crap. It's such a waste of time. There's nothing. I mean, there's nothing more useless that we do as people who talk into microphones than predict a game that we have no idea what's going to happen. Drives me insane.
There's nothing more fun than asking him to pick a game, Dice. I promise you.
But they did it on 3HL right before the game, and I'm sitting in Nissan Stadium, and I hear the words, I like their odds in it, and I immediately start to hate myself because I know what's going to happen. And to your point, like, it's completely inexplicable the way that the Tennessee Titans, maybe the Colts as a franchise aside, the way that the Tennessee Titans, when logic dictates that they should really not have any reasonable chance in these games, they come out and shock you in ways that leave you. I mean, I'm sitting in the press box in Baltimore with my jaw hanging on the floor because A.J. Brown has just carried four Baltimore Ravens into the end zone with him to get the lead in that game. And then we know how it ended up in ended in overtime. I guess when I try and make sense of this particular matchup, for me, as the season has kind of gone on, I think they're a little too married to what it is that they do best offensively. Like, I'm watching, and I know that's the case around the league, and you want to put your players in the best position to succeed. And obviously this offense has had great success. But I'm watching like the Rams and the Buccaneers on Sunday Night Football, and I'm watching just like, it's so cool to watch Sean McVay in those moments because they're problem solving on offense in real time. And you've seen how much more evolved that is, that's become as a system from the time when Belichick absolutely pantsed him in that Super Bowl to where they are now, where Jared Goff is on completing, I think he almost completed 50 passes. Or that's Monday Night Football, rather, not Sunday night. Anyway, do you think, Dyson, when you watch them through the course of this season, and maybe what you're saying is so, that they're kind of holding some of their stuff back in preparation to have to see this team again, do you think they might be too married to what it is or who they are offensively?
You know, to your point, but that game against the Colts, first time I was on the air right after you, and I almost said the exact same thing. I just felt like it was a good spot for them to get a victory and get a hold of the division. But I think sometimes coaches can get married to a concept or a scheme as an identity so much that they don't try to take advantage of what the opponent is giving them. What I like about the McVays of the world, or Sean Paytons of the world, is they have their scheme, but they also use the strengths of their players to the fullest of their capabilities. They put guys in position to be successful and make plays. They don't care if Thomas is out on the edge by the numbers. They may move him inside on the hashes and the numbers because they know that's the matchup. They're just moving guys around. I think you've seen the success of offenses in being able to be multidimensional. I think the Titans have that capability with Jonnu Smith. He's embracing his new role, one of the premier tight ends as far as catching the touchdown passes. And we saw him carry the football earlier this year too. And he's showing he has that extensive tool bag and as well to use. And then you talk about Corey Davis, A.J. Brown, and then, of course, Derrick Henry, and being able to utilize those different skill sets. We have seen it from time to time. We've had this conversation on our show is Arthur Smith probably not going to be here very long if Titans continue to progress offensively, because he has shown the capacity to be pretty flexible and unique. But also, he also has to answer to the head man, who is a defensive-minded guy, who has a defense that has been struggling, who has a defense that has been able to get off the field on third down, who has a defense that has been able to get to the quarterback. So sometimes you can't take as many risks as you want, because you do have to worry about clock management, field management, all those types of things as a head coach when your defense is struggling. So, you know, this is an offensive league. And in essence, a lot of defenses is just stop the bleeding, as we saw the Titans even last week. But when it comes down to it, you got to put your positions in your best player is in position to make plays. And I feel like they did that at times, especially early on in the year. I feel like here recently, maybe it is just trying to be more vanilla, to maybe have something coming down the pike. Although that, like we saw some different things, even this past week with the zone read with Tannehill on the 2-point conversion, that was a beautiful design play. So I think they have some tools still in their tool bag that they're ready to unleash. We just haven't seen the full capacity. Now, the whole Wildcat direct snap with the backup center, we have no idea what was in store, but that was a little bit of a quote unquote monkey wrench in their scheme, but we don't know what was coming because it was a bad snap. So, you know, they definitely have some things that they want to utilize, maybe get on film. But at the end of the day, as any head coach or any coach will tell you, we are what we are and we do what we do. And it's about us imposing our will on our opponent.
on with the good Dr. Smooth, Kevin Dyson, Titans legend here on 104.5 The Zone.
That's right. Education
legend. He's catching,
legend.
Nick. He's catching.
Education legend as well. You know, we're talking about maybe playing your personnel based on what's going on in the game. Look no further than the last time the Titans saw the Colts. Michael Pittman and Nyheim Hines. I mean, Pittman hasn't been around long. By far, his greatest performance. He's got a third of his receiving yards in that one game. And Nyheim Hines, Dice, had never had 100 yards of total offense in a game and two touchdowns. He did that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we saw the Colts say, okay, maybe Phillip Rivers won't beat you this game, although he kind of beat them by throwing the ball every 2 seconds. But it wasn't, guys, at the end of the night that you would have thought, well, I didn't have Nyheim Hines and Michael Pittman on my bingo card as beating the Titans.
Mm-hmm. Well, we talked about it at the post show, or the pre-show even. Phillip Rivers is one of those guys now, what you see a lot of veteran quarterbacks when they get to that extension of part of their career where they're just on borrowed time. Like, he's not the young gunslinger he used to be, but they understand defenses now. They understand, I don't have to take the risk. I can keep the chains moving, or I can play field position. You know, they don't have to try to fit it into tight spaces as much as they did when they were younger, when they want to see if they could, or they anticipate maybe making the wrong throw or something like that. Guys like himself, you've seen it with Roethlisberger this year, who's protecting the ball very well. These guys are protecting the football, protecting possession, understanding the importance of having the field position, having the ball in possession, and they're just dumping it off and outside shoulder throws, throwing away from the defense. They're not taking the quote-unquote risk. Now, that doesn't mean that you won't see from time to time, which we have seen with Phillip Rivers, and we saw when he played the Titans a couple weeks ago, he did take a shot or two. And that's when you can't give up the big play, but it's death by a million cuts right now, and they're just being smart and methodical with their offense. And then you got a good, solid defense behind you. It makes it even harder and more frustrating for a team when that offense is on the field and they're just moving the chains. Even if they punt, they're just keeping the clock moving and they're doing their thing. And then it's hard to move that ball on that defense, and the defense can kind of tee off on you, especially if you become one-dimensional. And I think that's the key for this one, is you can't become one-dimensional too early, too soon. You know, you have to be able to keep them on balance, because this is a very solid defense.
Can't go broke doing what, Dice?
Making a profit.
That's the way it goes. Hey, man, great stuff, as always. You and I and Blaine will be on the air 10 a.m. on Sunday. We'll be breaking down match number 2 of the Colts and the Titans. And, boy, this is hate to say must win, but if you're going to win the AFC South, it's a must win at this point.
Absolutely, man. Y'all have a good Thanksgiving, brother.